All right, let's pray before we get into where we're going to be in Revelation chapter 3. There you go, Phyllis. We're finally in Revelation. All right. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you, you haven't left us unaware of how to discern, of how to walk, of how to understand, Lord, what's going on around us and how to respond. I thank you, Lord, that you've revealed the kingdom of God within us, Lord. You've put your spirit within us, Lord. You've revealed truth to us. And I pray today as we look at your word, as it says here, the Spirit speaking, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, especially during this time, Lord. I thank you for your word, Lord. Open up your word to our hearts. Open up our minds to your word, Lord. I pray this morning, help me, Lord, to convey your heart. These are times, Lord, that we truly need to be led by you, by the truth of your word and by your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, even though it's a difficult time and it's probably going to get more difficult, Lord, it's also an exciting time. It's a time of opportunity. And I pray you would encourage us this morning to believe you for that, not to have a spirit of fear like we read when we see things happening, Lord. We don't have to fear because you're in control and it's your plan that's going forth. So God, speak to us this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be in Revelation chapter 3. I'm going to start here in verse 7. But I just want to share something that someone texted me this week. And I know some of others here maybe heard about this prophetic word that was put online, dreams and things that are coming for this country. And again, listen, I believe in visions, I believe in dreams, it's in the Bible, but we got to be careful that we're not just following these things without understanding what the Word of God says about these things. And, you know, I listened to it, and yeah, I agree, it's probably going to get worse. I agree, things are probably going to happen in this country that probably need to happen, that God probably needs to allow to happen to get the church where it needs to be, but also to open up hearts to the gospel. And, you know, one thing that caught my attention listening to it was the basically what he was telling Christians we need to do because these things are going to happen, and it was buy gold, it was stock up ammunition, it was stock up food. And the first, when I heard that, what I thought was, okay, that doesn't sound very biblical. That doesn't sound like what Jesus talks about in Matthew 24, 25. That doesn't sound like the book of Revelation. That doesn't sound like what the early church did when they were suffering, when hard times came. It doesn't sound like laying your life down for other people. What it sounds like to me is self-preservation and just taking care of me. And what we're going to see in this scripture, so it led me to this scripture, and I had this phrase going over and over in my mind, an open door. God's going to open doors. But it's going to be through difficulties. It's going to be through trials and tribulations. And we see this with the church that the Spirit of God, that Jesus is speaking to here in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. This is to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Write these words. These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens. Really, what we see here in these words is a description of the total authority of Christ over his church, over his kingdom. It's a picture of, in the days of David as a king, of the man who would have control of over who entered and who didn't enter. And we see this in Scripture many times expressed in many different ways where Jesus talks about, I know those who are mine, or shutting a door or opening a door. And what this is expressing to us is that God is the only one. Jesus is the only one who's been given authority to do that. And when he does it, it's final. When he does it, it's final. So he says to this church in verse 8, I know your works. In other words, I see what you're going through. I see how you're responding to the trials that you're facing. Because this is a church that is suffering. And it's interesting, out of seven churches he speaks to in these chapters of Revelation, only two get a good word. Only two, you know, are kind of commended. And this is one of them. I know your works. And then he tells them, see, in other words, look, I have set before you an open door. And no one can shut it. For you have a little strength. You have kept my word. You have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews but are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and they will know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command to persevere. I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. So when he talks about an open door, he's really talking about being in maybe a hard place, a difficult place, maybe facing barriers, not able to enter somewhere, and God divinely opens a door so we can go and do what he has called us to do. So he's opening a door to them. We see this in Scripture. In 1 Corinthians 16:9, the Apostle Paul says, a great and effective door has been opened to me. There are many adversaries. So understand, as the door opens, there's opposition. There's going to be fierce opposition. Expect it. 2 Corinthians 2 verses 12 through 15, he says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, here it is, a door was opened to me by the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I departed to Macedonia. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And through us, he diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Praise the Lord. So when God opens the door, when God is sending us, his fragrance is going to surround us. People are going to sense his presence. They're going to know him by our lives and what comes forth from our lives. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. And then in Colossians 4, verse 2, he's asking for prayer. He says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with all thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying for us that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So here, what I want to express to you is, don't worry about the chaos. Don't worry about what we might have to go through as a church, as a people, as a nation. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying. If, and we're going to look at this a little more, if you have made up your mind to be faithful, to hold fast, that I am going to endure to the end. I've already counted the cost. I'm not looking back. You need to understand, even though things might get difficult, even though the world will be gripped in fear, God's opening doors to his people. Praise the Lord. The preaching of the gospel. Acts 14:27 says, when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. I'm looking forward to all the testimonies we're going to be hearing, that we're already hearing, aren't we? Haven't we seen already doors opening, right, because of what we've had to go through? People that all of a sudden a little more open to the gospel? That's because God works in adversity to open doors. And he does it through people of little strength. That's encouraging. I don't have to be a super spiritual, strong in myself person. We have little strength, and that's okay because his strength is perfected in our weakness. Praise the Lord. So who will Jesus open that door to? True worshipers. True worshipers that will not bow down to any other God but Jesus. And we're going to be looking at an illustration here in a little bit in Daniel chapter 3. Because I'm just telling you, this is where we're quickly heading as a society. You will bow down to this ideology, to this belief system, whatever it is, you will bow down or you will pay the consequences. It's already happening, but I'm just telling you, it's going to get a lot more intense and there's going to be more severe consequences for those who will not bow down to what the majority are doing. But God is encouraging us. Don't worry. I'm going to open a door for you through it. And it's for these people. It's for the true worshipers. Those who have kept his word. Those who are going to remain faithful to the word of God. When people are twisting it, when people are misquoting it, when people are outright just suppressing the truth of God's word, there's a group of true worshipers that have the Holy Spirit, that have come to know the truth, that are holding on to the word of God, as Paul encouraged a young minister, Timothy, who, when he said in 2 Timothy 3, son, there's going to be many imposters, many deceivers, but Timothy, hold fast to that sound doctrine you heard. The holy scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation. That's why we harp on that here. That's why we're always, I know you hear this a lot, know your Bible. Know the word of God. You have to know the word of God. You have to live in it, meditate, pray over it, study it, apply it. Then you'll be able to discern. Like when I listen to that, I could say, nope, that's not in scripture. Nope. I don't have to text someone or ask someone, hey, what do you think of this? I don't need someone's opinion if I understand what the word of God says. So we need to know what the word of God says. Here, I'll read it here, 2 Timothy 3:13. Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This is what we're dealing with today. In the church, as well as outside of the church. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. Assured of. There's no wavering. There's no double-mindedness. I know this is the word of God. I know this is the inerrant word of God. There is no errors in here. There's no misquotes. This is God-breathed. It's not just a textbook or some book that a whole bunch of men wrote some stories and they all put it about. This is the word of God. You have to settle that in your mind and in your hearts. And the Holy Spirit will help you do that. knowing from whom you have learned them, and from that childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then those who have not denied his name. And, you know, this church faced many, many oppositions, and many times people were threatened to deny Christ or else. But they were faithful. And I just want to say this. We hear that, well, oh, I would never deny his name. But you can deny his name in many subtle ways. When you're bowing down, when you're giving in to what the majority is saying around you, you're denying his name. Sometimes it's just not an out and out, yes, I deny Christ. We can deny him in action, in word, by how we live our lives, by how we respond. Those who have not denied his name have not caved to the pressures around them. I loved a video I saw where these protesters were in this cop's face, a black cop, telling him to bow, to bend his knee to what they stood for. And you know what he said in a sweet, gentle voice? I only bow to one, and his name is Jesus Christ. I was like, yes. And then I saw another video where a bunch of people went in a restaurant. And people were all sitting around. They were chanting, the protesters. We are for transgender. We are for this. We are for that. Whoever here is for that, raise your hand. And they were kind of intimidated. And everyone in the restaurant raised their hand. And that's just fear of man. What are we going to do when they say you can't buy and sell or we'll throw you in prison? Where are the Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego's? So we're going to look at that. So now we're going to go to Daniel chapter 3 because this is such a picture of what we're talking about and how God is going to open doors to us. It's awesome. It's so awesome. Let me just read something to you. This was also a vision, but it lines up more with Scripture. Listen to what she says. God will use terrible times to cause new and greater spiritual openings. When people are in their hour of greatest need, they are most open to hearing about God's love and the love of his church for them. The whole world is going to be plunged into an hour of greatest need. God's people will be more anointed than ever to bring God's presence, truth, light, and love into places of chaos and desperation. See, that sounds more with what I see in Scripture. He says, God will use this state of turmoil to awaken new opportunities for his own. One faith concept she shares here is that the bigger the problem, the more grace, the greater the miracle. So every problem is an opportunity, raw material for a miracle from God. And that's what we're going to see here in Daniel chapter 3. So if you want to turn over there to Daniel chapter 3, these three guys we're going to see were in a difficult situation. And I believe, as a society, we're going to become more and more in the situation they found themselves in. I'm just going to give a little backdrop. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Basically, what was happening, okay, we're in Babylon. The children of God, the Israelites, have been taken captive. They're in a foreign land, a pagan country. And these certain men have been trained in the ways of the Babylonians, and they're serving in the king's palace, okay? So it's early on, they're still young men, they might have still been teenagers at this time, but they were young men, away from their families, away from everything they had known. Now in a foreign land, only thing they had was what they believed about and got what they knew from Scripture. Okay? And this king, this pagan king, sets up a statue, an idol, a huge idol, and he makes a proclamation throughout the land that we're going to gather everybody around this statue, and we're going to have music and harps, and when a certain the trumpets sound, everyone will bow to this idol. And if you don't, oh, and they heated up a fiery furnace. And he says, and if you don't, we're going to throw you in the furnace. So that's the backdrop. And in verse 8, it says, therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and they accused the Jews and they said to the king, O king, you made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Be prepared to be turned in, maybe even by family. You see with the COVID thing, like you can report people. Like I know someone that did that. But I'm talking like serious stuff. We don't believe that. We can't imagine that. Like, but don't you see the division? Don't you see the spirit that's rising? You think when people are threatened with life, with necessities, with prison, who knows what, you think they're not going to turn people in? Hey, those people over there, those Christians, they're not bowing down like everybody else. They're not going along with our agenda. And it says the king was furious a little further down. And they said to him in verse 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we don't even have to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, in other words, he threatened him and said, listen, you don't do this, I'm throwing you. He says, okay, that's fine. If that is the case, our God, which we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand. But even if he doesn't, I love that part. Because somehow as Christians, we feel like that shouldn't happen, but it did to the early Christians. Why wouldn't it to us? If the early Christians watched kids thrown to lions, why do we think somehow, because the American Christianity just can't fathom that. But the biblical Christianity, that's normal. You see how our thinking needs to be biblical, not what we make it to be. Otherwise, we're not going to be prepared. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to prepare our children for what they might face to stand for Christ. This is some serious stuff that we need to be talking about. Preparing ourselves. This is what we should be preparing ourselves, not ammunition and food and all these other things. We got to make sure we're walking with God, that we're full of the Holy Spirit, that we've made up our minds what we're going to worship. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image you have set up. Wow. So now he's furious. Says he was full of fury. I'll tell you what. And I'm not doing this much because I notice it has a bad effect on me, but I'll watch some of these videos. I watched a video of a sweet, dear, elderly black gentleman defending some statues that I think the people that wanted to tear it down didn't even understand it was actually pro-abolitionist, which they don't even know what that means, against slavery. And he was so sweet. And there was a girl in his face, man, full of rage. She was literally out of her mind. And right at that moment, I thought, that's what we're going to be facing. Just blind hatred. You can't even reason. They just want to kill anything that gets in their way. And that spirit's being fed. It's growing. And we're going to have to know how to walk in humility, in love, in grace, and stand for what we know to be true. And I'm telling you, when we do that, because what I saw was Christ in that man. I could see the love of Christ just bearing this woman. It was beautiful to watch. But there's going to be a growing pressure. And many are caving, people. Many are caving. So they made up their minds. It's a hard issue. We got to make up our minds now, okay? But here's the key. Here's the open door, okay? Verse 24. Verse 24, it says, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. This is after where they were thrown in the fiery furnace. They're thrown in. The guys that actually tried to throw him in were killed by the fire. That's how hot it was. But Nebuchadnezzar comes up and he's astonished. He rose in haste. He spoke, saying to his counselors, didn't we cast three men bound in the midst of that fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He goes, look, I see four men loose. They're walking around in the fire. And one is like the Son of God. And then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, the administrators, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose body the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not even singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire wasn't even on them. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke, and he said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. And then it says the king promoted them. Now, I don't think he got saved because he's still cutting people in half and all that kind of stuff. But he bent the knee and acknowledged there is a God in heaven. And didn't he say to that church in Philadelphia, your enemies, the very people that are attacking you, they're going to bow the knee to you. They're going to bow. But it's going to be to acknowledge there is a God in heaven. And that's the open door, people. That's what God is preparing us for as his people. He's going to open up new opportunities for his people. But the key for us is going to be making the choice. And God has given us opportunities. These trials that keep coming on the earth and will continue, God's helping us. God's trying to get our attention. God, it's time to get off the fence. It's time to solidly decide, I'm going forward, there's no turning back. Both of my feet are in the kingdom of God. I'm done with the world. There's no looking back for me. I'm not going to be Lot's wife. We got to make up our minds. And the promise is, Jesus is going to be with us. We don't have to be afraid. People watch these videos, and the first thing you get is fear. Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, if everything collapses, what are we going to do? Fear. No, 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 no. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. See, the world thinks they can make their own peace. It's not going to happen. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be afraid. That's God's word to us who have chosen him, who have made up our minds. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you in the fire. As bad as it gets, I will be with you. You have nothing to fear. You got to hold on to these promises. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they will not overflow you. You won't be drowned by evil, even though there is a flood of evil being unleashed in our society. You won't be overcome by it. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Just ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm persuaded. Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. God will make us a light and a witness to those around us. The open door. You know, as we look around, as we see what's happening, we can feel like the disciples. I actually find myself, again, if I'm looking too much at the news, at people that are just seemingly beyond reason, you think, Lord, what hope do we have? Who can be saved? The disciples got in that, and Jesus said, what's impossible with man is possible with God. Because why? He's the one that opens the door. He's the one that's going to open the door. Only he can open the door. It's not going to be you. It's not going to be our strategies and all the things we've used in the past in the church. God is going to go before us, and God's going to open doors so we can proclaim the gospel in power with his anointing. People are going to look at our lives. They're going to hear what's coming out of our mouths. They're going to know there's a God in heaven, that there is hope. There is hope. There is a shelter from the storm that is raging in the world, and it's only going to be found in Christ. And we're going to be able to tell those that God sends us to, that God opens the door to send us to. And we need to start praying as a people and believing God for that. That's why Paul asked for prayers. Pray for me that a door would be opened. Pray for one another that doors would be opened to you. God's going to do it. Just be open to it. Just be sensitive to see when it opens. Because he said, see, I've opened a door for you. Do you see? I know I've heard, I've talked to some of you. He's already opened some doors for you. Keep walking through it. Keep believing God. He's going to do miracles through your lives. He's going to use your mouth to speak the things of God, to give hope, to grant repentance, to souls that will turn from the darkness, that will come to their senses, because God's opened their hearts. God opened a door that nobody else could open. These things we need to be focusing on, not what am I going to do? How am I going to take care of myself and my family? No, God, here I am. Use me. God, what an opportune time. Send me, God. Send me. And in the end, we actually were singing that song. It was so real to me. Come, Lord Jesus. He says in verse 3, I'm back now in Revelation. He says, behold, I'm coming quickly. It's not long, people. I'm coming quickly. Hold fast. Be like the church of Philadelphia. Hold fast. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of God. That is the promise of eternal life. That is the promise of being in the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven. You will be a pillar in the temple of my God. You'll be like a testament to God. You know the pillars they would set up for victories? You ever see those pillars? And they'll put a little thing on top and it'd be a symbol of victory. That's what we're going to be like in heaven forever and ever and ever. I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. Hallelujah. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem who comes down from heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let him hear. So I'll end with this morning, people. Something Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 10. This was part of the blesseds he was sharing, and he finished with this last one. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you, when they persecute, when they say all kinds of evils against you. Get that in you. You're going to have to remember that. So when it's happening, you're saying, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Thank you, Lord. You said I'm blessed if people do this to me. Rejoice. Be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. Salt is a preserver. Salt doesn't preserve itself. Salt preserves something else. We're to be preservers of others. But if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be shaken or hidden, sorry. Nor do they light a lamp or put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those that are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify God, just like that pagan king. That's what we're going to see more and more. Because God is opening doors. So pray. We need to continue in those things we've been assured of, people. We need to know God's word. We need to be a praying people that God would open doors to us in these trying times we're living. Again, it's not the time to think about self-preservation. So I'm going to pray this prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed or ask for. And I'm going to pray it for you. I'm going to pray it for this body. I'm believing it for you guys and where you're going. I'm believing it for the church in general. We really need to wake up to what God wants to do through us during these days we're living in. So Lord, I do pray that you would open up to us a door. A door, Lord, for the word to speak the mystery of Christ. For which, possibly, we'll be in chains one day. That we may make it manifest as we ought to speak, Lord. Help us, God, as your people to walk in wisdom to those who are outside. Lord, don't let us get caught up in all the rhetoric, in all the wisdom of this world where there's nothing but dissension and division and strife. It's demonic wisdom. It's from the spirit of this world. Help us to walk in heavenly wisdom, which is peaceable, gentle, kind, willing to yield, Lord. Speaking truth in love. Help us, Lord, to redeem the time because the days are evil. Help us to be a people, God, that are seeking you, that are in the word, that are allowing the mind of Christ to be formed within us so that we might walk as you walked, Lord, so that we might endure to the end. Help us, Lord, to redeem the time. Help us to speak with grace. Help our words to be seasoned with salt. In other words, let there be life in our words. That we may know how we are to answer every person that you open the door to us. Just like you promised, you said, I'll put my words in your mouth. God, I pray you will begin to open the mouth of your people boldly to proclaim the gospel. And Lord, I thank you that in our hour of greatest need, you are going to open glorious, miraculous doors to the lost. I thank you, Lord, even though the whole world is going to be plunged into chaos, your people are going to be more anointed than ever to bring your presence, your truth, your light, and your love into places of chaos and desperation. So God, I pray you would just prepare our hearts. Prepare the way, Lord. You're the one that's going to do it, Lord. You're the one that's going before us, Lord. And we're believing you for that, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you also, just before we break up today, to encourage one another, to speak, to exhort one another as you see the day approaching. We need to be building ourselves up in the Lord during these times. And as much as you can, turn off the news. Get off the internet. It's stirring up the wrong things in you. Get into God's word like never before. Pray. Begin to pray. I've been such a blessing to see how God's been moving. He spoke something to me 5-6 months ago. He said, Jeff, stop trying to make people get it. You can't. Just pray for them. Leave them to me. And you know what? It's been such a blessing to see God answering those prayers. I was so encouraged by a testimony yesterday. And it was like God was saying, see, I know how to open a door. I know how to do. And let's start believing God for that. Let's start believing for your neighbors, family members that maybe you're like, I don't know, Lord. Let's believe God for those open doors. Amen? So go encouraged. Don't get in with the world's in. Don't go out of here, you know, in fear, worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. We already know what's going to happen. We got the victory. We win. And when we're in eternity, this light, momentary affliction, it's not going to mean anything. So look up. Amen? God bless you guys.